Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord.
My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For you, Lord, have looked with favor on your lowly servant. From this day, all generations will call me blessed. You, the Almighty, have done great things for me, and holy is your name. You have mercy on those who fear you from generation to generation. You have shown strength with your arm and scattered the proud in their conceit, casting down the mighty from their thrones and lifting up the lowly. You have filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. You have come to the aid of your servant Israel to remember the promise of mercy, the promise made to our forebears, to Abraham and his children forever.
This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, as we heard in today's gospel, we heard what is probably the most revolutionary hymn in all of Scripture. It is known as the Magnificat. But you see, far too often, what we hear from about Mary is a more domesticated picture of her, a picture of one who is meek or mild and obedient. However, the Mary that we encounter in Luke is something far more radical. Remember, she was a teenager, unwed, dark skin, and living under the occupation of the Roman Empire. By all accounts, she should be invisible, forgotten, never to be remembered by any of us. And yet, in that moment, Mary dared to sing. And her song is not a private lullaby for the child that is within her, but rather this is a public proclamation. She declares that God scatters the proud, dethrones the mighty, lifts the lowly, and fills the hungry with good things. And Mary's words are not just something new. In fact, they are echoing the justice songs of her foremothers, the words of Hannah and Miriam and Deborah and Judith, each of these faithful women saying of a God who interrupts the world's patterns of power and justice that center the marginalized and that renew all of creation. Which is why it matters so deeply who this Mary was when she sang this song of justice. You see, in her life and in her song, she gave flesh to the words that she proclaimed. I mean, if we imagine a serene, white Madonna holding a very quiet, daringly still child, the Magnificat becomes nothing more than gentle poetry and something beautiful to reflect on. But when we see her as that poor unwed teenager in an occupied land, well, you see, her words burn with defiance. They sound dangerous. They sound like hope against all odds. For Mary is not only singing about God's past actions, those actions of liberating the Israelites, of feeding the hungry in the wilderness, but she is also singing about her present reality. She sings not only for herself, but for all of the lowly, all of the oppressed, all of those cast aside by systems of power. And I think this is where her witness challenges us most today. You see, right now, in our own country, more than 58,000 people, 58,000 people are being held in immigration detention. Many of these people have committed no crime. They're not the worst of the worst or the felons or the ones who are on our streets gunning down people. No, no, these are parents. These are children. These are siblings. These are vulnerable people fleeing violence and persecution and poverty. People hoping for refuge. And instead, our tax dollars are paying for them to be locked away in overcrowded facilities, often being denied medical care and adequate food and water, and even the basic dignity. This year alone, we know of at least 10 people who have died in the custody of our government in these detention centers. And if you think that this is just Pastor Jason going on and on talking about something that Pastor Jason does, no, no, no. The ELCA has very clearly spoken about this. You see, our social policy resolution entitled Toward Compassion, Just, and Wise Immigration Reform calls for humane alternatives to detentions, namely programs that are less costly, more effective, and above all, more compassionate. When detention is unavoidable, we insist that people must have access to humane standards, to legal counsel, and to religious expression. But the reality that we see in our country now is starkly different. Detention has become an industry. It is fueled by private corporations and political agendas. And behind all of the statistics that we read and that we say are human lives, lives that God calls us to honor, to respect, and to love. So when Mary sings that God lifted up the lowly and fills the hungry, her song resounds with the cries of those living in detention today. The Magnificat is sung in the holding cell. It is prayed for in the detention yard. It is whispered by mothers separated from their children. Her song, Mary's song, Mary's defiant political song. Her song calls us to remember them as though we were detained with them today. And one of the early church titles for Mary was called Theotokos, meaning, any guesses? Anyone know? Besides vicar. Theotokos. Theotokos, Theotokos. Bueller, anyone? Bueller, 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 no? God-bearer. Theotokos, meaning God-bearer. Now, when it was originally coined, it was meant to honor her role as mother of Jesus. But I think if we look at her song a little bit more deeply, her song is suggesting something even with more depth. You see, Mary bore God not only in her womb, but also in her witness. She bore God in her bold proclamation of justice. And through baptism, you and I, we too are called to be these God bearers. We are called to recognize God's presence in those that the world wants to forget or lock up or ignore altogether, in the detained immigrant, in the hungry child, in the neighbor struggling for dignity. You see, to be a God bearer is to parent with God's work. It is to lift up the lowly, to speak truth to power, and to remember those who are imprisoned. Hard stop. In this world, this work is not easy. Like Mary, we live in a world where the powerful seem immovable and the lowly seems forgotten. And it is tempting for us to just curl up in a ball and sink into despair and believe that our God has nothing to say and that our God is not acting on behalf of these folks. But the reality is that we should be very careful not to believe the temptation that detention camps and border walls and deportation quotas are just inevitable in our world, but rather what we see in today's reading, what Mary's song teaches us, what the song of very many faithful women have taught us, is another way. For each of these faithful women, each of them flex what I like to call our hope muscle, or our muscle of hope. You see, hope for these women, for Mary, hope is not just wishful thinking. Rather, hope is rooted in God's history of liberation. It is in the memory of promises kept. It is in the conviction that God's justice will prevail. For Mary remembers how God parted the sea through Moses, how God fed the hungry in the wilderness, how God raised up prophets to challenge the kings. And she trusts, and we trust, that God will act again. But it's not just thoughts and prayers and hopes and let's go to brunch. Rather, Mary shows us that hope is not passive. Hope moves Mary to sing. Hope moves her to proclaim. Hope bears God's presence into the world, and it calls us, it beckons us to do the same. For we too are invited to flex our hope muscles in the face of today's detention crisis. And what might that look like? Well, that might look like using the bulletin insert that you have today to advocate for alternatives to detention and more humane treatment when detention is necessary. It might look like beginning to volunteer or supporting our local ministry partners that provide food and legal support and shelter, like our ministry partners at the Illinois Community for Displaced Immigrants. Or it might just look like, in conversations with our neighbors and our colleagues and our friends, that we might speak up when they are spreading fear and misinformation. You see, hope is not abstract. What Mary shows us today is that hope is enfleshed. Hope takes flesh in our actions, just as God took flesh in Jesus through Mary's love and hope. You see, Mary's Magnificat is not a relic of the past. It is a living song. It is echoing the cries of the detained. It is the voices of the oppressed and the calls of the church here today. For Mary reminds us that God's justice is not comfortable, For it dethrones the mighty, it empties the rich, and it lifts up the forgotten. For Mary's hope, Mary's song, actually invites us to confront our own comfort in the mirror each and every day. She reminds us that our God is not neutral, but our God does take sides. Our God takes sides with the poor, with the hungry, with the imprisoned, with the immigrant, with the detained. Mary reminds us that we too, we are invited to join her and be God bearers, carrying God's presence into a hurting world. And she reminds us of this not to guilt us, not to make us feel bad about ourselves, but rather to invite us in God's unfolding liberation among us, to invite us in the work that God has already done, that God is doing, and that God will always do. She invites us through our baptism to remember what it means to be crucified as the living Savior, to then come and remind us that we are here to be that liberating presence, to be God's hands and feet in the ways that we act and interact, the ways that we talk and speak, the ways that we advocate, and the ways that we show up. She is standing here reminding us today of God's love and God's grace that we are invited to pour out abundantly because our God first poured it out with abundance for us. So it is on this feast day, this feast day of Mary, Mother of our Lord, let us not just remember the peaceful Madonna holding the awkwardly quiet child, but rather, let us join with her voices. Let's join our voices with her voice. Let us proclaim with courage that God scatters the proud and lifts up the lowly. Let us remember those in detention as if we were detained. Let us bear God's justice and hope to all the world that so desperately needs it. Because the reality is that Mary's song is not over. Mary's song is not one and done, but Mary's song fills our ears today and is still being sung through us, with us, and for the sake of all of us. May we proclaim Mary's bold justice and be Theotokos, God bearers, in all that we do. Amen.